In Gaza, day two of the ceasefire. This time it seems to be holding. And now both Israelis and Palestinians face the difficult task of negotiating a lasting truce. One step at a time, there are lots of thorny issues to consider. Even the smallest details could potentially derail an accord. Reconstruction, for example. If Gaza is to rebuild after these weeks of devastation, it'll require cement. But cement can also be used by militants to rebuild the tunnels the Israeli military just destroyed. Rob Bletcher is with the International Crisis Group. And Rob, let's talk cement in just a moment. But first, why are these tunnels, remind us, such a big deal for Israel?
Well, the tunnels have been used to launch attacks against Israel. Ever since 2006, the tunnels have been a threat. And you've been able to see that most clearly in the recent war when they were used both defensively by Hamas, that is to say, against Israeli soldiers coming into Gaza, but also offensively by Hamas, with the tunnels passing under their border with Hamas popping up into Israeli territory with intent to attack.
It seems, though, Israel's big concern is that Hamas would take the cement and immediately start to rebuild the tunnels. How was the cement issue managed in the past?
Well, it's been handled in a couple different ways. You know, for a substantial period of time, there were no building materials allowed into Gaza. For a different period of time, the cement was allowed in only under the auspices of the UN, and the UN was responsible for tracking that cement and making sure it was used for its intended purpose. Yeah. And then during another period, the tunnels under the border with Egypt, that was the main thoroughfare for cement coming in.
If there are no tunnels now, Israel has said mission accomplished on getting rid of the tunnels, how would cement even get in? Israel would presumably have to allow it.
Well, I know. I just need to clarify that we're talking about two different kinds of tunnels here, and it's very important to have the distinction.
Okay, make that distinction.
So one kind of tunnel is the kind of tunnel that everybody was talking about during the recent fighting, which are the tunnels that went under the border between Israel and Gaza. And these tunnels were used for military purposes. There's a second kind of tunnel, which has long existed. And those are the kinds of tunnels that go between Gaza and Egypt. And these tunnels were very active until about a year ago, after Morsi was deposed and after Sisi came in. He cracked down on these tunnels under Egypt's border with Gaza. So I think what's going to have to happen now, because the tunnels under the border with Egypt, between Gaza and Egypt, no longer exist or have been blocked, or at least just about entirely blocked, the concrete will have to come in legitimately overground. And I think that's why getting this ceasefire is so much more difficult than ceasefires in the past. Because if you look back to 2012, if the official ceasefire agreement was not implemented, there was always a safety valve. The tunnels under the border with Egypt were the safety valve. Now you're in a situation where that safety valve doesn't exist anymore. So if the official ceasefire does not work, you're very quickly going to find yourself back in the exact same situation which led to this escalation last month.
Wow. Before this interview, I thought cement was just a sidebar to the Gaza story, but it sounds like you're saying it's critical and a potential deal breaker.
I think that there are three things that are really crucial, three goods that are really crucial to creating a semblance of normality in Gaza. One is building materials, which includes cement. There's fuel and there's electricity. And there are grave problems with fuel and electricity as well. And unless those three things are normalized such that the people of Gaza can regain a semblance of a normal life, I think the ceasefire is going to last for less time rather than more time.
Rob Bletcher, Acting Director of Middle East and North Africa Programs at the International Crisis Group. Thanks very much.
Thank you.